Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
First this afternoon, let's go straight to Downing Street because Britain's new Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has spent the afternoon appointing ministers to his new cabinet. It's still ongoing after a slew of resignations as well from the Truss administration. In his first address outside 10 Downing Street, Mr. Sunak warned of difficult decisions ahead while also apologising for the mistakes of his predecessor.
The government I lead will not leave the next generation, your children and grandchildren, with a debt to settle that we were too weak to pay ourselves. I will unite our country, not with words, but with action. I will work day in and day out to deliver for you.
And that's the new UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. Well, political parties in Northern Ireland are among those following Mr. Sunak's appointments very, very closely indeed, with fresh Stormont elections set to be called on Friday. The leader of the DUP, Geoffrey Donaldson, says the Assembly won't be back for a considerable time unless the new Prime Minister alters course, he says. Our reporter Barry Lanahan is in Whitehall for us. Barry, a flurry of activity all day today. What's the latest that you can report to us?
Yeah, another extraordinary day here, Cormac, starting off with Liz Truss's farewell. In spite of her 49 days in office, the shortest term of any British Prime Minister, her message really was je ne regrette rien, saying that there was a need to be bold, praising tax cuts and expressing no regret for her time in office. She was followed an hour later after a changeover at Buckingham Palace by the new Prime Minister outside number 10 Downing Street, Rishi Sunak, whom, as you alluded to, apologised for the mistakes of his predecessors, alluded to difficult decisions ahead, and also, rather interestingly, making reference to how the mandate the Conservative Party won in 2019 belonged not just to one person, but to all the party. He also praised one of his other predecessors, Boris Johnson, another rather interesting move. And that mandate thing, particularly interesting, giving a poll here today showing how 62% of people want a fresh general election this year in Britain. But in the past short while, all eyes on a cabinet reshuffle. We've had 10 sackings or resignations from the Truss administration, something similar to the Albert Reynolds reshuffle of many years ago back in Ireland. A most high profile, Brandon Lewis, the former Northern Ireland Secretary of State, also the former Conservative Party chairman, Jake Berry, and also the high profile Brexiteer, Boris Johnson ally, outgoing business secretary, Jacob Rees-Mogg. He has returned to the backbenches. A flurry of activity, as I say here, at Whitehall, people going into number 10, going out, going in some with trepidation, others coming out with happy faces. We've seen James Cleverly go in. It would appear he's an ally of Boris Johnson. It appears he is going to stay in the foreign secretary role. Remember Mr. Sunak preaching stability, preaching this idea of the party uniting together. So Mr. Cleverly's appointment there, perhaps significant. We also have other Boris Johnson allies going in as well. Nothing confirmed yet, though, for some of those, such as Nadeem Zahawi. You'll recall how he backed Boris Johnson in the Telegraph at 9 o'clock on Sunday night, and 28 minutes later refreshed his backing for Mr. Sunak after
Barry,
Mr. Johnson.
You're merciless.
Mr. Zahawi could be there. Jeremy Hunt is set to stay on as Chancellor of the Exchequer, we believe, perhaps in a bid to calm those volatile markets after Trussonomics of recent weeks. While Dominic Raab, a key ally of Mr. Sunak, he is to return to his previous positions, it has been confirmed, of Deputy Prime Minister and in the Justice Ministry as well. While we also see Miss Braverman, the former Home Secretary, sacked just 6 days ago. She has gone in the last few minutes. So might she also be expecting an appointment? But ultimately, it's in a state of flux. But the key thing is that some people are staying in their positions, and ultimately a broad church of the Conservative Party being facilitated, it appears, at Mr. Sunak's new cabinet table.
My God. And also, we're we're seeing here in the wires, Barry. I don't know if you've heard this. The man who was inclined towards Boris Johnson, Ben Wallace, Defence Secretary, says at Defence, a lot of the faces that we have seen before at the last cabinet and previous cabinets are making an appearance again. So the leader has changed, but I wonder, has much else? Come here to me, what about the parties in Northern Ireland? We mentioned them there. How are they reacting to all of this?
Yeah, another chatter that Michael Gove, the former housing minister, is also set to return. He had backed Mr. Sunak. That just conjecture around. Also, there's an expectation perhaps that Chris Heaton-Harris may remain as Northern Ireland secretary in the interest of stability, given the fact that we have those fresh Stormont elections expected to be called on Friday due to this impasse over the protocol. Party leaders from Northern Ireland here around Westminster looking for that news in the last short while. And that's a nice spoke to the leader of the DUP, Geoffrey Donaldson.
I don't think the appointment of the new Prime Minister changes the challenges that our country faces, and it certainly doesn't change the challenges in relation to the Northern Ireland Protocol. If we are to see a fully functioning executive at Stormont, then clearly the government know what they need to do, and that is to secure a solution, an outcome that respects Northern Ireland's place within the UK internal market. We need to see Northern Ireland being able to trade freely with the rest of the United Kingdom, and a solution that also respects the integrity of the EU single market.
But it has been said that Mr. Sunak was your least favoured of the three potential candidates for Prime Minister. So have you heard anything from him that perhaps would satisfy your demands? Anything he has said in the past? Of course, he was a supporter of Brexit.
Well, I've never said who my favourite or least favourite was. I will work with whoever is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. We always have, because we want to see the best interests of the people of Northern Ireland served. That has to mean removing the barriers to trade, removing 25% tariffs on steel imports coming into Northern Ireland. These issues need to be dealt with in a way that restores our place within the United Kingdom.
But if they haven't been dealt with up to now, they're hardly going to be dealt with by the new Prime Minister, surely.
Well, then there will be no Stormont, and we'll approach the 25th anniversary of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement without functioning political institutions.
At the moment, you will have a new election called on Friday. It seems the momentum is heading that way.
Well, if that is the case, and that's a matter for the government, we will be ready. We'll fight that election. We will seek to refresh our mandate, but our position won't be changing. We made it clear in May. We got a mandate for our stance, and that stance continues. There is no point in limping back into Stormont in the mistaken belief that that will resolve anything. It won't. Power sharing can only be based on a cross-community consensus. That doesn't exist. Not a single unionist elected to Stormont supports the protocol. We need to find that solution,
what you're
and
saying
the sooner
here
the better.
Is not being listened to at Westminster. I know you've been preoccupied, but Steve Baker has put up a tweet in the last few minutes. He's at a forum in Fermanagh, basically calling on parties to go back into the executive before Friday's deadline. And many people are saying it's a direct appeal to you, Geoffrey, and to your party.
And Steve is entitled to his opinion. I respect that. But I have a mandate, and Steve will understand as a Member of Parliament, when you turn your back on the people, when you disregard the commitments you gave to the people, when you go back on your word, it doesn't sit well with the people who support you. And I am very clear. We have a mandate that we sought and obtained in the Assembly election, that we would not go back into a fully functioning executive until the protocol issues are resolved. And I think it's up to Steve and other ministers in the government to deliver that solution. The sooner that happens, the sooner Stormont will be back up and fully functioning.
And that's Geoffrey Donaldson there. You're bang on the money, it seems. Michael Gove now gone into number 10 Downing Street, Barry, and we await confirmation, if you hear anything, of any appointments in that regard. What about the Tory, within the Tory party itself? Are you hearing anything about the mood being stabilised there? Because I know there was an extraordinary speech, a departure speech from Liz Truss this morning, and I know the ERG are a little bit antsy, but what are you hearing in terms of chaos or stabilisation?
Well, Mr. Sunak's supporters say stabilisation, and that includes or extends to the ERG, some of those say. And they also say the economy will be stabilised, but also perhaps the prospect of arresting the Conservative Party's low poll ratings as well. I caught up with some backbenchers, starting with the former party vice chair and Scottish-based MP Andrew Bowie.
I really hope so. Look, I mean, we've got a Prime Minister in Rishi Sunak who's professional, capable and serious, and he's going to be taking decisions in the national interest. We saw that on the steps of Downing Street this morning, and I think we'll see that through the day in his cabinet appointments. And let's focus on getting to grips with the huge issues that we face.
Can you shed any insight in terms of what Ireland might expect and relations with the Taoiseach Micheál Martin?
No, I think that Ireland can expect a working and respectful relationship. You know, no two countries are closer than the Republic of Ireland and the United Kingdom. It's in both of our interests that our governments work together to tackle the shared challenges we face. That involves discussion on the protocol and resolving the issues on the Irish border and the Irish Sea, absolutely. And there are difficulties there. Rishi supported Brexit, but he's a pragmatist. And he knows that he's got to reach across the divide, not only within the Conservative Party, but across the country and indeed across to our partners within the European Union.
Kevin Hollinrake, Member of Parliament for Thurscan Malton. I think it'll be welcomed, and I think particularly because he brings a sense of stability and I think competence, which has been sadly lacking over recent weeks.
What sort of cabinet do you think he'll appoint? He's in the middle of it at the moment. Talk that there'll perhaps be one for everyone in the audience, different factions within the party will be accommodated.
I think that's right, a government of all the talents. I mean, I hope he picks people based on their talent, not in terms of where they sit politically as well.
Mr. Rees-Mogg would say he's very talented, that he should be there. He is one of the first to leave from the previous administration.
Well, if he thinks he should be there, maybe he shouldn't have resigned. But that's a choice he's got to make, and he is critical to some extent of Rishi. But I think we've got to move on from that past division.
There he is, Barry Lenehan, speaking with Tories, mulling around Whitehall. They're hoping for the little curly finger into number 10 Downing Street. And the hope of an appointment, the cabinet, as Rishi Sunak, the new PM, appoints his cabinet. It's my thanks to Barry. He'll be back with us with any developments later on in the programme.